Hey, Disco Biscuits and Disco Balls, this is Tab, and I just want to apologize in advance for the recording here. With all the hustle and bustle and trying to not miss one week, because we never do, I had some technical issues and my recording sounds a little buzzy, not the drunk kind, but the annoying buzz in your ear kind. So I promise it'll get better next episode. Keep on listening, but bear with me on this one. And happy, happy 2023, guys.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
That's right. Up in here. Merry post Christmas.
Merry post Christmas. And I think when this airs, it'll be Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
But we're recording 1 week early, so we just had Christmas yesterday.
I know. I wasn't planning. Well, before the last time we recorded, I wasn't planning on seeing you at all when you were in California. And then I saw you twice.
It was actually a Christmas miracle.
It really was.
I spent more time with you than I spent with anybody, actually.
I feel so special. That actually is sad because that's kind of true about life. I feel
it's true.
We spend more time like talking to each other than our own significant others.
Well, that's true because they work. So not that we don't work, but we have to also talk. We have to talk to each other for work. We work and together.
Then for life. Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah. But it was a real good time.
It was a real good time. I put lots of pictures up. People saw.
Yeah. We found a group of Santas in the Ventura. Dude, Ventura is weak sauce, okay? Let me tell you.
Oh, my God. You're going to be offending people.
No, it's just that where was the party, man?
I know.
The town was like shut down.
Well, it was cold that night, I will say. And Ventura doesn't do well.
Put on one of your Patagucci's.
Totally.
Okay. If you didn't know, Patagonia is made in Ventura, so everybody got it.
That's true. And everybody that we know works there. So it's like you either, if you live in Ventura, I feel like that's the only place you really have to work.
You got a Patagonia hookup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that. We went into a fine establishment that we used to frequent, Dargan's, and Tab was scared to remember this.
What?
You were scared because you forgot your wallet and you were so afraid they were going to card your ass.
Oh my gosh. I think I had PTSD from when I was younger. Gretchen was like, they are not going to guard you, dude.
Dude, they were carding everyone in front of us. And as soon as we walked up, they're like, they just gave us the head nod. Go on in.
I know. She how sad. Like,
Damn it.
I don't got it anymore. I used to, but the Santas liked us, so there's that.
Oh, the Santas were a good time.
They were a really good time.
And the police officers.
And we have some police get up right after we walked out of a naughty store that we thought was real funny because we're 13.
Yeah, I know. We had a conversation with the guy that worked there. You know, when you're like, oh, this is going to be one of those funny things we do while we're being crazy kids in their 40s, intoxicated downtown. And about 30 seconds in, we, I think, all looked at each other like, this was a bad idea. How do we get out of that? We don't want to talk to this person at all.
We walked into a store that still sold DVD adult X-rated content.
Well, yeah, and they had one of those dolls.
Oh, they did have a doll.
For $2,000.
Named Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. You remember the name? Have you been taking all your vitamins?
I got for Christmas some cognitive coffee. That's what it's called.
Oh, and I'm impressed.
I've been drinking it. It's got some mushrooms, some MCT oil. It's got all the shit.
Oh, well, let me tell you people what I got for Christmas.
An ice maker. An ice maker. All know.
Yeah, everybody already knows. Okay, but let me tell you, I was kind of mad about it, right? Because I just don't like the idea of him spending that much money on me. And I know that you can buy an ice maker now for like a lot cheaper, but he got me like a really good one. He says, you know, it was a deal, whatever. It's changed my life. It's the best damn ice ever. And it like stays cold for so long. It's better than the Sonic ice even. It is making my winter vacation fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, that happened to me one year when I got an air fryer for Christmas. I thought, this is balls to the walls. Why do I want this? And that thing has changed my life also.
Oh my God. Also, my friend, our friend Eilish, gave me some pots she didn't want anymore.
Pot?
No, pots.
Like pots and pans?
Like pots and pans.
I was kind of excited for you for a second.
I just bought pots and pans at my house. And so I was like, yeah, I'll take them to the cabin. I would never call Eilish dumb, but she is so fucking dumb for giving me these pots. They're best pots ever. Ever. I've never used such good pots.
Oh, well, thanks,
now,
Eilish.
I wish I would have taken the pots, my cheap ass pots from home, kept these pots.
You know what else you got for Christmas? What I sent you a month and a half ago.
Oh my God. Well, it is the centerpiece of my Christmas decor out here.
Good. Getting some use. I ordered Gretchen a pre-order for this advent calendar Dolly Parton from Williams-Sonoma. And I sent it and it was, dude, that thing was not cheap to send because the size of it. Okay.
Yeah. And it was one of those situations where she's like, did you get my gift? And I'm like, I don't want to be an asshole, but like, no.
I know. And
she's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure.
She's like, she's sure. I was like, well, it was supposed to be there on Tuesday, November, I don't know, 12th or something. And it never showed up until December 22nd.
For Christmas. Yeah. Well, listen, we did one of those gingerbread houses and this kit sucked. And all of the candies are different in that advent calendar.
Oh,
so we had lots of decor.
Are they all Dolly really candies nice. Or no?
They're all like gummy. Yeah, things she likes, like gummy butterflies and stuff like that.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, super cute.
All right. Well,
you want some crime?
I do.
Okay, this week's crime is listener suggestion from, I hope I say her name right, Drema Simones.
Drema,
maybe.
Drema.
She's awesome. She contributes a lot, I think, in the group.
Well, thank you so much. And if we got that name wrong, please let us know exactly how to say
please
it.
Please let us know. Just post it phonetically. And I'm real sorry in advance because I can almost guarantee I said it wrong.
Fayetteville. Fayetteville.
That's right. For life. Okay. Anyways, thank you. This one is right up our alley. This one is going to take us back, way back, before you and I were even born, Tab, and to a country we've never visited before.
Where?
I'll give you a hint.
Brazil.
You say this a lot. It's as hot as...
balls.
No, Haiti. You always say it's hot as Haiti.
Oh, yeah. No, we both have not been to Haiti.
Well, that is where in the 70s, Jean-Claude Dominique, a young aspiring doctor, was born and raised with his 22 siblings. That's a lot of siblings.
Okay, not one mother. There's no way one mom popped those up.
I don't know. I just read the 22 siblings. I don't know if it's one mother or not.
Or we can have adoption in there. Dude, I think uterus would fall out if you had 22 kids.
Well, look at that Michelle Duggar. I mean, she's like pretty close.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Well, anyways, Back in Haiti, Jean-Claude was in love with his childhood sweetheart, Betsy. But while he was a fool in love, he was no fool. He worked hard in school, which led to an opportunity to come over to the U.S. and study medicine. So he left Betsy behind and began an internship in a Brooklyn, New York hospital. That is where he met a disco biscuit named Elliot. Elliot was an RN at the hospital, and she was a U.S. citizen, but she also had Haitian roots. And her and Jean-Claude got on like peas and carrots, right? The whole medical thing, Haitian culture in common. Mm-hmm.
That sometimes draws people in when there's some sort of commonality.
Mm-hmm. So Elliot and Jean-Claude married in 1980, and Elliot sponsored Jean-Claude so he could get his citizenship, as well as she worked her arse off, or ass, to pay for his medical school tuition. Well, it paid off, because Jean-Claude became a well-respected doctor who made a salary nice enough for Elliot to quit nursing and pop out two children and raise them in Baldwin Harbor, Long Island. Jean-Claude now commuted from Long Island to a Brooklyn hospital, which is at least an hour commute. That can be a lot when you're working long hours, right?
Yes.
So Jean-Claude was working those long doctor hours, and so he would often spend the night in the apartment that him and Elliot never let go of, that they had lived in Brooklyn, back when they were both still working together at the hospital. So I get it. You don't want a tired husband on the road. My husband works long hours. He has a commute too. I worry about mine. But I think if we were fortunate enough to have a crash pad for him to stay in closer to work when he puts in long hours, I think I would be periodically showing up there.
I think I would too. That is, one of those things where it's easy access, right?
Listen, just bring him dinner. I just wanted to leave this for you. Whatever. You just got to find a way to be all up in their business a little bit.
You know what my girlfriend said, which is a really good idea. I've never done it, but her husband and her, he was a pilot and she's a flight attendant. And so they have off hours and whatnot. She would always write on all the mirrors in lipstick, like, I love you. You're my sweetie.
Oh, all this stuff, good.
Right? So then it's like your presence is there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Follow us for more tips how to like borderline psycho behavior.
Right.
We straddle that line real close. Okay. Well, Elliot didn't do that. No lipstick on the mirror, etc. And it turns out Jean-Claude really didn't do a whole lot of sleeping in that apartment. Surprise, surprise. Okay, remember Betsy, the old flame from Haiti?
She came to New York?
Yeah, he never really quit her.
Oh.
He married her, actually. Married and fathered two children with her.
He had a double life.
He did. Jean-Claude bought Betsy a home in Irvington, New Jersey. So in addition to a lot of doctoring, Dr. Jean-Claude Dominique was living a double life. He had two families 53 miles apart from each other. How he managed to marry Betsy when he was already married to Elliot was he had to have a woman impersonate Elliot and sign no contest divorce documents in front of a notary. 3 years after they married, then he could legally marry Betsy so she could go through the citizenship process.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Okay.
Could you imagine? Well, he's a fraudster.
Well, yeah. Okay. So this was the 80s. So, I mean, I don't know if doctors still have pagers now. Do they?
I doubtful. Because then they have a cell phone.
He had a pager, right? Yeah. So he always had an excuse. Like, I'm getting paged. There's an emergency. You know, I mean, the pager thing was like, kids, if you don't know, you don't know. But it just lends itself to so much sus behavior.
It totally does. Yeah. I'm getting a page. Hold on. I got to go to the.
Yeah, I got
to
go.
I got to go find a payphone. I mean, yeah. It sounds so foreign.
And you can't. Yeah. Okay. So thank God we track location and everything now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jean-Claude managed to juggle both families for 17 years. That's bananas.
Wow.
Right? I mean, it's shady as hell, but it's impressive, right? I mean, remember, they did not have Red Bull then, okay?
Do you think that Betsy or Viagra, or maybe they had that.
Right.
Do you think that Betsy knew about Elliot?
Well, she did know something about Elliot. I'll get to that, but I mean.
Okay. But you don't think that she knew he was having like a full-on marriage?
No.
So he just said like on Christmas, oh, I have to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's really the perfect.
It really is the perfect
story,
job, right?
If you're like for
the ER doctor or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way in which the doctor's dual life all came to light was dramatic and tragic. On March 22nd, 1999, Jean-Claude was crossing the street near the hospital and he was struck by a car and sent flying into the gutter. He suffered traumatic head injuries and remained unconscious but still alive. Both Betsy and Elliot were notified that their husband was in critical condition and rushed to the hospital where they met for the first time face to face. Yeah. Both women were obviously shocked that the other was claiming to be married to their husband. Betsy knew of Elliot, so this is what I was going to tell you. So she knew of Elliot as much as Jean-Claude had been married to her at one point and then divorced her prior to marrying her. But of course, she was under the impression that once he divorced her, they'd actually like divorced, and that Elliot was aware of the divorce and had moved on. Obviously, that was not the case. So in the midst of these two women trying to wrap their head around their husbands living a double life, including fathering children from both of them, they are also managing a lot of feelings because the man is in a coma clinging to life. So this puts the hospital in kind of a pickle because they just need to know, like, who is the wife that is in charge of medical decisions for Jean-Claude? Well, Betsy was able to produce a copy of her marriage certificate first, and so they just appointed her wife.
Well, it kind of isn't, because it was a fraudulation of divorce, right? Because he had somebody else sign those papers acting as Elliot.
Well, yeah. And, but, you know, I mean, Betsy has unfair advantage because, you know, she had to go through the whole citizenship process. She's probably got all her documents all nicely organized.
Right.
I mean, I have no idea where my marriage certificate is.
Me neither.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, shit, I could be divorced for all I know.
True. Okay.
They're sitting together. No.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is, it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences, and then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com.
So Elliot is like, what the fuck, right? She's got a lot of questions and she can't ask Jean-Claude due, you know, to his unconscious situation he has going on. So she asks his brother, Ali. So, hey, Ali, what gives with Betsy, right? Mm-hmm. And Ali tells Elliot at that point, I don't know anything about her. I stay out of my brother's business. So she doesn't get anywhere with him. She knows that this is, you know, that's not likely the case, right?
Liar, liar.
Yeah. Ali is just pulling some like bros before hoes crap, which sucks because she is desperate for answers.
Right.
And everything she knows is in question. Like, was anything real? Did he ever love her? Was this all part of a master plan to get Betsy over there? You know, she doesn't know.
Right.
Well, Jean-Claude held on to life, never regaining consciousness for 39 days. I mean, it just is like so crazy because it's like, oh my God, if you weren't unconscious, I would kill you. That's got to be what she's thinking. Okay. Oh. Well, he finally passed. And Ali, who, by the way, was a high school teacher, went to Elliot and asked her to pay for the funeral. He didn't want his beloved brother, who was like a hometown hero amongst their huge family. Remember, 22 siblings, to have like your average funeral home send off. He wanted 7 limousines for the family and a reception to the tune of $30,000. Okay, well, that was in 1999. that's a lot of money now. So that was like a lot of money then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Elliot was like, kick rocks, Ali, because I can't afford that. I actually don't know up from down right now financially. Maybe if you gave me some answers, we could, you know, like figure this whole thing out. Like, right. Am I married? Is this money mine? You know, she doesn't know. So Ali, in response, was like, who do you think you are? My brother was a hero, and out of respect, the big funeral is happening, and now you're not invited, and neither are your kids.
No.
Yeah, mean.
Literally.
So that was a real drag for Elliot. How does she explain this to her teenage children? Can you imagine?
No.
No.
But she's also like, your dad had another.
Yeah, all of it.
Family.
And like, he's dead, this is... and they don't want us there. Yeah, it's effed.
I mean,
all
this
around.
Is bananas. Yeah. This makes me feel like, yes, they did have a plan.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The whole thing was a plan.
Well, eventually she decided to go to the apartment in Brooklyn that she and Jean-Claude had once shared, and where she had thought he'd been sleeping all these years. When she was going through his things, she discovered the notarized divorce papers, to her horror.
Mm-hmm.
How he had managed to marry Betsy is now making sense. But how did he manage to divorce her ass without her knowing was still a mystery, you know, to the point until she, you know, sees the forged signature on the documents.
Right.
So then she takes them to a lawyer who had them examined by a handwriting expert who verified they were not Elliot's signatures. A year after Jean-Claude died, a judge ruled in Elliot's favor that because the signatures on the divorce decree were forged, she was still legally married to Jean-Claude, therefore invalidating his marriage to Betsy, which translates to Elliot got all the money. And there was some money to get. He had $1 million life insurance policy, mutual funds, properties. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of these properties that Jean-Claude owned was a building that had a beauty supply storefront in it. The beauty supply store was co-owned by both Betsy and Ali. Mr. Ali, who said I don't even know her?
Well, yes, I told you he was in on it the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it turns out he did know her. They operated a beauty business together. And in addition to that, Betsy had been collecting rent from the other tenants in the building. Well, now that Elliot had the legal authority to do so, she decided that since she didn't fancy Betsy or her former brother-in-law, and she was right pissed that given he was in business with Betsy, he had to have known the whole time that Jean-Claude was a two-time in. So she decided to put the building up for sale and evict them. I mean, I think it's a tough position to be in, right? I mean, he was lying to Betsy, too. And she has children as well. So it's like, do you really want to let your business, you know, like your bitterness get the best of you and put her out of business? Well, yes, she did. She decided, yes, she did. But
well, I could see, because there's some people that are just like, you ruined my life. I'm going to ruin yours. It's called revenge.
She did let her keep her house.
Okay, that's good.
So that's that. She didn't have to.
I'm trying to teach my kids right now to not have revenge on each other.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
You know,
how's that working out?
It's not working out really well. It's been quite a Christmas break. and we still have another week to go. I need to take some medication, I think, to get through it.
Yeah.
I don't have any, and I don't know what I need to take, but I think I need something.
Any recommendations? Yes.
Something.
Yeah. Okay. So Elliot's bitter, but not so bitter that she takes her house and leaves her homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's good. Ali had some bitter Betty feelings too, because he's, you know, he's living off his teacher's salary, which is not that much.
Mm-hmm.
So this beauty business was a big part of his income. And now he's not benefiting from that at all.
Right.
And on top of that, he had taken on a bunch of debt on account of the elaborate funeral that he threw for Jean-Claude, which he insisted on throwing.
Oh, right, right.
Okay, so he came up with a plan, and it's a real doozy. It began with executing Elliot. He hired three men to do the dirty work. At this point, Elliot had gone back to nursing and had a regular schedule where she left her home around 5 a.m., which I do think is like admirable, right? I mean, she didn't need the money.
Right.
She just left for the love of nursing. Gonna go back.
That's well, impressive. She probably, yeah.
Yeah, she's bored.
But she kind
of... Her kids were grown.
But I bet you she kind of did need the money.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. That's total
speculation.
So one morning, she went out to her car and was shot twice in the head and once in the hand.
What?
Her daughter called 911 and she was rushed to the hospital. And thankfully, by some miracle, the bullets only grazed her skull.
Oh, and now, Ali.
Oh, okay. Well, now when early morning shots are fired at a 56-year-old nurse in a suburban neighborhood, there's going to be an immediate search for the assailants, right?
Mm-hmm.
A neighbor told police that he had seen two males flee the scene and head in opposite directions. The first was not hard to spot. It was an especially cold morning in Long Island, and the guy was walking around without a jacket and looking like he didn't know where he was, because he didn't.
Okay.
So the police took him down to the station. He confessed that he was part of an assassination plan on Elliot. He said he had been approached by a man named Joe who wanted him originally to be the getaway driver and then the other guy named Marvin to do the hit because apparently Marvin already had a gun. So it's convenient. Which, by the way, the police found the gun when they were like scaling through the neighborhood.
Like he just threw it?
Yeah, he just threw it. OJ style, you know, okay. Off fence. Yeah. Okay. So police go find Joe and he spilled his guts about his involvement. But he was like, hold up. I didn't like participate when shit got real. I got to tell you, I had a feeling this whole shooting thing could get messy. And it sounds like I was right. Let me tell you, the person who stepped in last night in my place was the dude who was really behind the whole plot to kill Miss Elliot. And that would be a dude named Ali, as in Ali, the bitter brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
So this guy Joe and Ali went way back. And he said his buddy was not feeling his sister-in-law since she did not participate financially in his brother's funeral expenses. And also, she had put him out of, you know, the beauty business by evicting him and the whole thing with the building. So police go and find Ali. When they sit him down to chat, his take was, yeah, I was behind the hit on Elliot, but I did it out of self-defense. He tried saying that Elliot was behind the hit and run that killed his brother, and he thought he was next. I mean, that's a little... That's a stretch, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he went to trial and pled not guilty. He said the confession that he had given police was coerced, but his old buddy Joe testified for the prosecution and said, not so much. He said, actually, Ali was just getting started. After Elliot was killed, he planned on killing her children too. His intention was to frame Betsy for the whole thing.
What? No way.
Then when Betsy was out of the picture serving time for crimes she didn't commit, he thought he would be able to get his hands on his brother's money that he felt entitled to.
That was never going to happen.
All evil people, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah. This does, Sam. I mean, it sounds real evil. Okay. And in fairness, I think Joe testified to get a reduced sentence for his role in the conspiracy. Yeah, but at the same time, it's also like not that hard to believe, right? Because the whole story is so wild. You know, he was covering up the whole double life thing forever. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so Joe also, by the way, was sentenced to 1 year for his role.
Okay. Not a lot.
Not a lot. But, I mean, he didn't, you know, he was part of the conspiracy, but he didn't actually participate that morning, right? Mm-hmm. And he cooperated with police and gave him Ali. So, I mean, I think a year is fair.
Okay.
The other two men involved took pleas and were given 12 and 19 years. 19 years went to the gunman, right? Neither of them served their full sentences. And from what I can find, since their release, they've, you know, kept like law-abiding low profiles. As for Ali, he was sentenced to 8 to 25 years, and prison records say he was released in May of 2022. But I also saw a vague death announcement for him, also dated May 2022. So I think he died at age 66 in prison.
In prison.
Yeah. Yeah. And he would have been released if he had served his maximum time in 2025.
Okay. Yeah, he died in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
maybe he got COVID.
Maybe.
That prison, wasn't that around the time? When was
it? Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as for the two wives' lives, from what I can tell, they are both still alive, but I don't know much beyond that. The ID channel did an episode of Married with Secrets in 2016 about the case. And at the end, it said that they all moved on and the children have gone on to be smart, successful professionals. So I hope that's true because, I mean, that is a lot of family trauma to unpack.
I mean,
that could easily, you know, be a big challenge to overcome. But yeah. I am just, you know, my question is, I'm a little curious if the wives... kids ever became friendly with each other because they are half siblings, right?
Yeah, but I think there's probably a lot of bitterness there. But yeah, maybe it would kind of be nice because they are siblings, but I don't know.
Oh, you never know.
You never know. Remember, we had friends like that. The dad had the second life and the kid, and then they ended up being friends and working together.
Yeah, it's whack.
But it always felt a little strange between them.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. Holy.
Guacamole, right?
Wouldn't it be crazy if Betsy and Elliot became friends?
Yes.
That's what really should have happened.
That would have been.
And they should have been like.
And good.
Screw the... dude.
Two-timer doctor.
Karma.
Yeah. I just can't imagine. I mean, how do you have the time?
I don't know. He clearly didn't work as much as he said he did. What kind of doctor was he? Do you know?
He was an ER doctor.
Oh, yeah. ER.
Which also lends itself to the perfect story, right?
It does, yes. Because the hours are all over the place. And
there could have been. Always an emergency. It's the fucking emergency room.
There always is. There always is an emergency in the emergency room. You're right. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he went to his own emergency room.
Oh, I think so, because he was hit right across the street from the hospital where he was working at.
Oh, yeah.
Which I also think is like, I mean, that's kind of a little bit of karma, because don't you think maybe he was just not paying attention? Like, he was tired, caught up with him.
He had a long night.
Yeah, he had a long night. Forgot
driving
to look both
here,
ways.
There.
Right?
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, happy New Year, everybody.
Happy
if you
New
want
Year.
To hear more from us, we do a Thursday episode on our bonus patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. Or if you are on Apple, you can click on the bonus content or the subscribe button and you will get our Thursday bonus episodes. Plus on Apple, you get ad free, which you might enjoy. Although we do have good ads, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
The new one, Factor 75. It's perfect for the new year. And the food, you guys, is delicious.
Legit.
I had it before. And ordered it before they were ever a sponsor, and it's the only one that my husband is like, this shit is actually good.
Yeah, it's good.
It is good.
Also, we are on Facebook, we are on TikTok, we are on YouTube, Housewives of True Crime. Please go there and like us, follow us, subscribe to us, do all of that, and we'll be your friends forever. That's what I used to tell my brother when I wanted him to do something for me. I said, I'll be your best friend. And then he would do it because he was so much younger than me.
What a sucker.
Now he's like, screw you.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's all for today. So happy 2023.
Yeah.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.